You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
There are many different types of headaches, and although not all headaches are the same, they all share at least one thing in common. They cause pain. But many headaches also cause other unwanted symptoms, including nausea, vomiting, dizziness, visual disturbances. Today, Dr. Milo Tarigi, a head and neck pain expert and doctor of physical therapy, is here to give us some insights on various types of headaches and how to treat them naturally. Great to have you here on Wellness for Life, Milo.
Thank you, Dr. Suzanne, for having me.
Absolutely. What are, you know, why? I should know what, but why are headaches so underrated and they just don't get enough attention?
Yeah, they really don't. Well, headaches are unique, like you mentioned, and they're very subjective. So no two people have the same headache, and within the same person, no person has the same two headaches twice. So since they are so complex, their treatments are often complex, but they need to be comprehensive, which requires different healthcare professionals working together and identifying different lifestyle modifications that the particular person has to make sure they get the appropriate treatment. So they're really hard to treat because they're so complex, and they're difficult to identify since they are subjective to each person.
You know, being a clinician, one of my jobs is to figure out the root cause of headaches. And you're absolutely right. I treat many, many different types. And headache is, to me, is just a symptom of something deeper. You know, for instance, I treat a lot of liver conditions, people who've mm-hmm. got liver congestion, their detoxification pathways are affected. And one of the main symptoms of liver issues is actually a headache. So if you don't address mm-hmm. the root cause, often whatever you're trying to do is just a Band-Aid. I'm talking about even a chiropractic adjustment can be a Band-Aid if we've got an organ dysfunction.
Exactly. Headaches can be caused through another part of the body, which is a secondary headache, like you mentioned. If something else is going wrong with the body, a symptom of that can be a headache. They can often be something serious, which is one of the things I wanted to educate your listeners about today. Headaches can be a cause of something serious. If you have a quick onset and it's very severe, it can be something called a thunderclap headache. So it comes on very quick. It can manifest itself in neck stiffness. It's very severe within a minute. And if any of your listeners ever find themselves having that first time, those symptoms, it's an emergency issue and they should seek care immediately.
Let's talk a little bit about that. Say the name of the type of headache you had just described.
That's commonly referred to a thunderclap headache, and it could be associated with underlying things such as meningitis or any type of central nervous system dysfunction. So it comes on severe. Again, it's often described as the worst headache of my life is what the patients will say. And it can be a serious underlying issue going on. So if anyone has quick onset of headache, worst headache of your life, seek emergency care.
This is super important what you just talked about, Milo, because most people would say, you know what, I'm going to pop a few pills and let me just go to bed and see if it's gone. But this is something that everyone has got to react and be proactive, go to the hospital, have them do their exams and do whatever it needs. Because if you've got a severe meningitis, which is an infection, a bacterial or even viral infection, it can cause severe damage. So definitely that's
absolutely
one that we got to look at. Well, there are a lot of other types of headaches that we all deal with. One is called a rebound headache. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, so a rebound headache is a headache caused by sometimes people taking, just like you mentioned, they get a headache, they take some medication. If you take it more than two times a week, your body kind of gets used to that medication. And then if you take it more and more to try to manage your headaches, sometimes the medication itself that was originally caused to treat the headache can cause another headache called a rebound headache. So if you find yourself managing your headaches at the time, it's okay to take medication such as ibuprofen or aspirin or something over the counter or whatever your doctor has prescribed. But if you find yourself taking it more than two times a week, you can open yourself up to rebound headaches, which can cause you even more pain. That being said, with a thunderclap headache, there are several other different types of headaches. that can be treated with simple lifestyle modifications, like being aware of how many times you're taking your medications through the week, or how well you're drinking water, or how well your sleeping quality is. So there's a lot of different things we can do to kind of decrease the frequency of headaches if it's not a serious underlying thing, which is partly why I'm here today.
Of course it is, of course, and we're all about natural strategies here on Wellness for Life. You know, you talked about the rebound headache. This is super common when people are going off of other types of drugs. I mean, not just like drugs that help you with headaches, but for instance, even caffeine, drinking coffee. A lot of us, we drink coffee and they just, you know, New Year's, let's go on a New Year, drop the coffee, and then they just get this massive rebound headache because they're detoxing off of the coffee. So this is super common. What should someone do when they go through a detox? Should they go back on the coffee for a little while? I mean, you know, I tell my patients, you got to wean off of everything slowly. You don't just do it all at once. You got to wean off, unless, of course, it's something that's causing a severe problem. But if you can wean off it better, the better it is.
Exactly. Yeah. So that would be the one thing to do afterwards, is to wean off gradually. So probably limit. Caffeine is great. It treats headaches at the time because it's a vasoconstrictor. So it can help in the time, but it can lead to other things down the line. So if you're weaning off, you probably want to limit your caffeine intake to 2 to 3 times a week, less than 200 milligrams, to avoid any overuse dependence that your body may create. And also, coffee dehydrates your body, just like alcohol would. So for every glass of coffee, you can also try to make sure you have a glass of water for every cup. Same thing with alcohol. If you're drinking a drink, you should have a glass of water for every drink you have, to avoid any dehydration, because dehydration can also be a trigger of migraine headaches in some patients.
That's such a great point. You know, I treat a lot of people who are climbers. They go into high altitude, different various areas, Machu Picchu, you know, Kilimanjaro and all that. And one of their symptoms, of course, is a headache. So what I do is exactly what you're saying. You got to drink plenty of water, because in high altitude, you get dehydrated. It's just part of the nature of being up there high up. It will drain. It will take out the water out of your cells. But also, because you're low in oxygen, that's another reason why you get headaches. If you don't breathe and get that oxygen in, that is a huge factor. And I'm talking about let's say sleep apnea cases. They don't breathe well in the middle of the night. They're lacking oxygen, hypoxic, and the morning they get headaches. Tell us about morning headaches.
Yeah, exactly. That can absolutely be a trigger, lack of oxygen, or even just maybe think about it when you're talking about your climbing patients. The differences in pressure can also be a trigger for migraines. So I often hear my patients come in and say, oh, the weather's changed, you know, my pain is acting a little differently. And there is some truth to that. Your body does have baroreceptors, which are pressure receptors in your body. And when they sense any type of change, your body can react by triggering a migraine. Your body really likes balance. So not too much of anything or too little of anything, even when it comes to sleep. You want to make sure you're getting the good quality of sleep. You don't want to make sure you get too much or too little, because, again, that change can lead to another trigger that can cause a migraine. So it's really about being balanced with go ahead.
Go ahead. You can say that something about the balance.
Yeah, I was just going to say everything in moderation. So even with the water intake, you know, you want to be drinking a good amount, but not too much. With sleep, you want to make sure you get just the right amount with good quality and not too much. And then same with caffeine and other things that can cause headaches. So
you mentioned the word migraine. And can you just give us your definition of the difference between a headache and a migraine?
Yes, a migraine can be very debilitating. It's a certain type of headache that's usually on one side of your head. It presents with a throbbing quality, so it feels like a pulsating. It's not a constant, and they can be very debilitating. You can be sensitive to light, sound, and you can often go out of commission, meaning you want to find a dark room, you want the lights off, and you want no noise. There's a huge genetic component to migraine. So if you've heard your parents or family members complain about headaches, over 70% of people who have headaches that are truly migraines have a genetic component to it. So they can also present with an aura, which means before you have the headache, the patient can actually have these sensations where they can kind of feel like their headache's going to come on. It's a very serious headache, and it's best managed with medication and a combination of lifestyle modifications, exercise, and there's a lot of simple things you can do to decrease the intensity of your headaches. One big thing with migraines I will mention is identifying the triggers of your migraine. So one of the best things you can do is, if you feel like you're having headaches on a consistent basis, is have a diary and notate when you have your headaches, if it's in the morning or at night, if you ate certain foods, or if you didn't get enough sleep one night, or you don't feel like you're drinking enough water, and make sure you keep track of that every time you have a headache so that you can identify exactly what's triggering it and then tailor your treatment to that. Another type of common headache is called a tension type headache. So instead of being on just one side of your head, a tension type headache feels like it's a tight band around your forehead. It can be on both sides of your head. It's constricting, so it feels like pressure, and it doesn't usually pulse like a migraine does. Now, this one can be related to stress, water intake again, lack of sleep, stuff like that, but it actually has a lot of benefit to have lifestyle modifications with this particular type of tension type headache as compared to a migraine.
You know what? I want to just dive in a little bit about bruxism. And bruxism is grinding, clenching of your teeth, whether it's during the night or day. You know, there's a muscle called the temporalis muscle and masseter, which is in your jaw, but it can radiate up to the head on the side of your head and temples. And often it's because we're just, you know, clenching automatically in the middle of the night. It's a fascinating type of condition. And I know about it because I don't have headaches. I've never had headaches, but I've definitely had clenching. And headaches can be caused by that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like you mentioned, you can clench your jaw during the night. If you feel like you wake up in the morning and you have a sore jaw, or the muscles in your side of your head are tender to palpation, there might be a chance you're clenching your teeth during the night. And that causes muscle tension, and that muscle tension can result in a headache. One thing just throughout the day that I found really helpful with my patients is for them to educate them about the resting position of your jaw to see if you are grinding throughout the day and you don't even notice. So the resting position of the jaw is the tongue on the roof of the mouth, slightly behind the teeth. Your lips should be closed, but your teeth should have a space in between it. So if you can practice that throughout the day, the tongue on the roof of the mouth, the lips closed, but your teeth open, you can actually feel your jaw relax, and then you can better identify if you're clenching throughout the day.
What a great, great little tip here. I actually recommend that when I ask people to do their meditations, their deep breathing techniques, yoga breaths, tell them exactly that. Put your tongue behind your teeth. And sometimes you feel this kind of like little spot on the roof of your mouth, right behind the teeth, and just put your tongue right there and relax and deep breathe into, you know, your diaphragm. And when you do that, you really feel a sense of relaxation. You might even relieve your headache just by doing deep breathing.
Absolutely. Yep. That leads me to another point is breathing exercises themselves. Sometimes, you know, with stress of life and sometimes our sitting posture, our breathing pattern can be messed up a little bit to where you're not using your diaphragm muscle to help yourself breathe. And instead you're using the muscles on your neck and your shoulders to elevate your ribs to assist with breathing. So one simple exercise to help with breathing through your diaphragm is placing your hand on your stomach, taking a breath in and making sure your hand is rising upon the inhale. And then your hand is falling on the exhale. That's a great technique. It's just to recruit your diaphragm and breathing. You do that a few times, it can actually help to calm down your body.
Does it matter how much time it takes for you to breathe in, hold, and breathe out?
That's a great question. For the diaphragm breathing, you would just be a slow, steady inhale and a slow, steady exhale. Now, there's another powerful technique that I really wanted to make sure to mention called box breathing. I found this very useful in my patients who complain of stress or, you know, muscle tightness or tension in their jaw, it's called box breathing. So there's four different movements to it. The first is a 4-second inhale, followed by a 4-second hold of the inhale, followed by a 4-second exhale, followed by a 4-second hold with no air in your stomach, or in your lungs, rather. If you do that a few times, it helps to calm down the nervous system, helps to lower your blood pressure and heart rate, and it can really help with stress reliever.
It sounds to me that the box type of breathing is for parasympathetic stimulation, to build parasympathetic tone and get rid of these super sympathetic dominant states that we all are living with.
Yes, ma'am.
So good. So then let's go a little bit more about sleep, because it's one of my favorite subjects. What do you recommend for people to do so they can start to sleep better? Is there like a sleep hygiene with some type of muscle work or stretching that you recommend?
Yeah, there's a sleep is very important, like you mentioned. And in today's age with cell phones and everything, it can be hard for your body to know when the right time is to sleep. So one of the biggest things I talk about with my patient is setting up a good environment for when you go to sleep. One thing I tell them is figure out which time you have to wake up at, then count back either 6 to 8 hours, and then designate a time every night for you to kind of put your phone away, brush your teeth, turn down the lights, get the TV out of the bedroom. If it is in the bedroom, make sure it's off so that your body knows it's time to go to bed. If you have a cell phone or you're still on screen time, the closer you are to bedtime and still on your screen, your brain is actually being tricked by the light that it's still daytime. It's not getting the cues it needs to know that it's time to wind down. So the quality of sleep is important more than the quantity of sleep. So making sure you have the right sleeping environment is very important. Putting the screens away about an hour or two closer to bedtime, and to make sure you have that environment set up for yourself so your body knows it's time to go to bed. And that'll help you fall asleep quicker and have a better quality sleep throughout the night when you do.
Well, to me, 6 hours is not enough. Usually 7.5 to 8 is what I recommend. And, you know, I've actually, Milo, recommend using these blue light blockers. These glasses that you can get anywhere online where it cuts out the bright lights, even in your bedroom with your light bulbs. And it helps cut all that blue light out so that your brain starts to produce melatonin.
Absolutely. That's right. Melatonin supplements can also be helpful in the treatment of migraine, as well as helping yourself fall asleep. So if you've set up the right environment and it's still not helping you fall asleep, melatonin in safe doses has been shown to help people fall asleep and decrease the intensity of their headaches.
That makes sense. I mean, everything good stuff happens in the middle of the night when you get deep, uninterrupted sleep. And deep sleep and REM sleep, that's all super important. Let's talk a little bit about the physical aspect. Tight muscles, neck spasms, tightness. You talked about a little bit about the breathing with your neck and shoulder muscles that can also trigger headaches. How can we relieve them? If you've got tight muscles, of course, in my practice, I'm a chiropractor, so often I recommend a chiropractor adjustment and doing some stretching. What else can we do to relieve tight muscles around the neck that causes a headache?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So tight muscles usually develop because there's an imbalance in your system. So this can happen really with bad posture and sustained posture. So if you're sitting down for a long period of time and you have your forward head and rounded shoulders, the muscles that are being stretched and are holding your head up get tense and stiff, and they can turn into trigger points or muscle tension. So one big thing is to just be aware of your posture. When you sit up straight, your cheekbones should be right in your sternum bone, to where your head is not leaning forward. Your head is like a bowling ball, essentially. And if it's leaning forward, if you're holding a bowling ball close to your body, it's more stable. But as you extend your arms and have the bowling ball further from your body, the muscles that are holding that bowling ball up will get tense. So you need to make sure your head is right above your shoulders. You're sitting up with an upright posture if you are sitting for long periods of time. And then making sure that periodically you're doing lean backs in your chair, lean backs and rotating so that your body is not getting used to holding your head in that forward head posture, which can cause tension. So yeah, just like being aware of your posture, adjusting it, and then making a conscious effort about every hour to stand up, move around a little bit, do some lean backs in your own chair, getting your body used to moving backwards can really go a long way in trying to create that balance again and having the muscles work like they were designed to do.
That's such a great point. You know, most of us, we sit down, and literally sitting is like the smoking of this era. You know, it's definitely causing a lot of illnesses in our whole body, physiologically, biochemically. But you made a good point about leaning back. I'm a big believer in standing up. You know, stand up desks is one of my favorite things. In fact, talking to you right now, I'm standing up. But even if you're standing up, you have got to make sure your screen is right at your eye level. People still are, dropping their screen down. So what is your recommendation on the gauge of where you should put your screen?
Yeah, just like you said, it should be at eye level. If it's any lower, your head is kind of nodding forward, and gravity is heavy. When your head is nodding forward, gravity can weigh you down and pull you further down before you even notice it. So that's a great cue, is to have it screen at eye level, and then your keyboard and wherever your hands are, if you have good posture, should be right where your elbows are bent at 90 degrees. So if you have your keyboard at 90 degrees, your screen about 2 feet away from you at eye level, that can really go a long way. And then another simple exercise I would like to tell your audience is, it's called the 20-20-20 rule. Some of them might have already heard it. It stands for 20 minutes. Every 20 minutes, you look at something 20 feet away for 20 seconds, because eye strain can develop if you're looking at your screen for long periods of time. Eye strain is another common trigger of headaches. So what I said earlier, I can't emphasize enough, is being aware of correct posture, being aware of, the right height of your monitor, being aware of where your keyboard is, and then also being aware of how long you've been staring at your screen or standing there. When you stand up, you need to make sure your weight shifting, not standing in the same place for too long, and then use the 20-20-20 rule to help with any eye strain that might develop.
That's a great tip. So every 20 minutes, you look away, 20 feet away, focus on that for 20 seconds, and that's going to relieve your eyes. And actually, I'm sure this will help for your future, so that you don't have to wear glasses. I'm talking about reading glasses.
Exactly.
I know that's, for me, exactly. That's one of my exercises. I do not wear reading glasses at 56 right now, Milo, and I'm going to keep it that way. And I really,
good.
That's one of my practices, is literally looking, looking from close up to looking far away. That's one of the exercises to keep your muscles strong.
Exactly.
I wanted to go into one thing also, is that when we're doing neck exercises and stretching, is it something that you recommend for us to do daily, so that it relieves us of our neck tension and headache tension?
Yeah, if just generally speaking, if you feel like you have a tight neck or a stiff neck and you find it hard to bend your neck one way or the other, a simple stretch is just sitting upright and bending one ear to that same shoulder. So my left ear to my left shoulder blade, I should feel a stretch on my right side. And the thing is, I want you to hold that gentle stretch for 30 seconds, and we want to do it 3 times. Anything less than 30 seconds 3 times has been shown by research to have your tissues kind of go back like a rubber band and not change in length over time. So it's really important you hold it in a gentle intensity for 30 seconds. You can alternate, do the other side, right ear to right shoulder, 30 seconds, and then you can repeat that 3 times. Another simple one would be bringing your ear to your shoulder and then turning and looking at your hip on the same side. You'll feel a stretch further in the back side of the right of your shoulder. But again, you can hold that gentle in intensity 3 times for 30 seconds.
Great. You know, I also recommend at the same time what Milo spoke about regarding putting your tongue on the roof of your mouth and then doing deep breathings. You got 3 triple whammies there helping you out. That's going to be awesome. You know,
yeah.
We only got a couple minutes left. Milo, I want to just address one more thing about the body position when you're sleeping. So many people mm-hmm. are like, they crunch over like a fetal position, and their neck and their head is all wrapped up on this, and they're sleeping on their side, and that can create neck tension too for the morning, causing a headache. Can you share just a little bit, real quick, What's the best position to sleep?
So it depends on the person, but what you want to make sure is that everything is in line. So if you're laying side lying, you want to make sure that the pillows on your head are not turning your neck up one way, too much one way, or letting your head drop too much the other way. You want it kind of in a line with your spine. Now, if you're laying on your back, it'd be good not to have your head too propped up, and preferably just a small pillow roll underneath the neck area so that your head itself isn't bending too far forward or too far backwards. So just kind of like what we talked about, balance. You just don't want it too far one way or the other that can cause any imbalances in the morning, because you're sleeping for a long period of time. And if your head is in a shortened or lengthened position for too long of a time, it can create muscle tension, which can lead to headaches. So
great way to
the best way to sleep.
Show.
It depends.
Yes. Thank you so much. I personally use a roll, a little round pillow, and I put it underneath my neck. And then, of course, I sleep on my back, because that's my favorite position. And I really believe, as a chiropractor, that that's the best position to recover and restore your body. Wow. Great information for people suffering from headaches. Please definitely check out Milo's website, DallasPhysioCare.com, DallasPhysioCare.com. And thank you so much for listening to the show. And do share the show with your loved ones. It can help them get rid of their headaches and change their life for the better. If this is your first time listening in, make sure to subscribe so I can continue to serve you with the most current natural health information available today. Also, connect with me on Instagram at Dr. Suzanne. I post regularly on how to become your best version of yourself through nutrition, self-care, lifestyle, and kimchi. And what's great is that you can get to engage with me directly. Yes, I do respond to all of my comments personally. And if you need help in digging deeper with your health issues, I work with people globally through phone, Facebook, FaceTime, and Skype consultations. So you can get my contact info on my website at drsuzanne.com. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.